Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Beitza has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Friedman, Leila Nishmas Menachem Ben Yosef and Tzina Devora Bas Yechiel.
Beya Daf Gimel. The Gemara now introduces two new shittas how to understand the din of our Mishnah. One is Rabbi Yosef, who says that it's a gzeira mishum peris hanoishrin, and the other is Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that it's a gzeira mishum mashkin shezavu. On both of those shitas, the Gemara asks that how can you learn that our Mishnah is making a gzeira l'gzeira? Peiris ha-noishrin itself is a gzeira, because we're worried a person is going to be toilish from a tree biadayim, and mashkin shezavu is also a gzeira. We're worried a person is going to be soichet from the peiris. He'll squeeze juice out of peiris. And therefore, to aser our Mishnah as a gzeira, mishum mashkin shezavu or mishum peiris ha-noishrin, is a gzeira l'gzeira. And in both cases, the Gemara says, kula chara gzeira. It's all one gzeira. When do we have the right to say that something is kula chara gzeira? And when do we have the right to ask the question that something is a gzeira l'gzeira? What makes something kula chara gzeira? Rashi learns in Dibra Maschol, chara gzeira hi, the idea of a gzera l'gzera is if I were to aser the egg because I'm worried that somebody's going to come and be over on the iser of peres hanoshrin. So since the iser of peres hanoshrin itself, we only asered because we're afraid that somebody is going to be over the iser of Tlisha, that's called a gzera l'gzera. It's two steps. And as Rashi explains on Beis Mebeis, in Dibra Maschol V'Hatanya, that we never say a gzera l'gzera because it says, Ushmartem es mishmarti asu mishmeres, you should make a mishmeres to the Torah, but not a mishmeres l'mishmeres. So we put up safeguards for the Torah itself, but you never put up a safeguard for a din d'rabbanan. And therefore Rashi says that they did not aser the egg because they're worried that somebody is going to be over the iser of peres hanoshrin. Rather, says Rashi, kishenimnu v'gozru al peres hanoshrin, when Chazal got together and they were gozer on peres hanoshrin, af beitza hoisa b'mashma, included in their original gzeira, they said that we're worried that somebody is going to be toilish peres from a tree. The only way for us to ensure that a person will not do that is by saying that all peres that fall from a tree or an egg that comes out of a chicken should be usher. All of that is what ensures us that the person is not going to go and take fruit off a tree. Because any of this, if we would allow either a person to eat peiros that came from a tree, or we would allow a person to eat an egg that came out of a chicken, the person by association would say, oh, you see that it's possible to eat something that was dislodged from another thing. If that's true, the person is going to come to do it via dayim. However, there's another way to learn kula chara gzeira in the Rishonim. Tosfos in Brachos, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschol Gzeira, and the Rashba in Chulin, Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, both understand the din of Kula Chada Gzeira differently. They understand that we mean the principle that we find sometimes in Shas of Eloi Ha Loi Kaima Ha, which means that if we don't add Gzeira B to Gzeira A, then people are not going to be nizer, they're not going to be careful about Gzeira A. And Chazal knew that they're not going to keep it. So what's the point of making a gzeira that we know people aren't going to keep? So in our case, let's say they would have not been gozer on the Beitz HaShanol de B'yomtif, then people would not have been careful about peiros hanoshrin because they would say that if Chazal didn't answer us from eating an egg that came out of a chicken, it must be that they never made the iser of peiros hanoshrin and they will continue to eat peiros that fall from a tree by themselves. So in essence, the reason why they assered the beitza that came out of the chicken is not like Rashi learns, that that is a direct protection for the deraisa. It's a way for us to ensure that people will not take fruit off a tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Rather, it's a way of us ensuring that people aren't going to be over the iser of peiros hanoshrin, of eating the fruit that came off a tree. The reason why this doesn't pose a problem of gzeira l'gzeira is because we know that people aren't going to keep the gzeira at all if we don't aser the second gzeira. Rashi, in Dibra Maschol Rabbi Yosef Amar, and Beis Mebeis at the bottom, when he explains Rabbi Yosef's shita, that the iser in our Mishnah is because of peiros hanoshrin, he says, "Ubeisilo da aser mishum peiros hanoshrin min ha'ilon b'shabbes." And the Achronim are bothered, why does Rashi say those words? We're talking over here about Yom Tov, so why would Rashi say that the Isser is because of Peres that are Noishim B'Shabbos? So the Prima Gadim says in the Rosh Yosef that the reason for this is because Rashi argues on the sheet of Tosfos. Tosfos in the end of Dibra Maschol Gzeira Sheva Yalav Yitloish explains that Midai Raisa, the only melachis that are mutter on Yom Tov, are from the melachis of Lisha and onward. All of the melachis that precede Lisha in the Seder of the Lamates melachis are not mutter on Yom Tov. And Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi to support that theory. That's actually how Tosfos answers a question that they have in our sugya. We're worried about Shema Yalav Yitloish. And the question is, even if the person would be toilish, melachis oichel nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov. So why wouldn't the person be mutter to go be toilish? So why would he make gzeira shema yalav yitlish? Answers Tosfos that actually tlisha is not something that's mutter on Yom Tov, even for oichel nefesh. Says the Rosh Yosef, Rashi disagrees with this premise. He holds that medaraisa, all the melachis are mutter if they're melachis oichel nefesh, and it's only a dinder abanan at most that it's usher to do those melachas. Therefore, he says, when Chazal made the original gzeira of Peres HaNoshim, because we were worried, Shema Yala V'Yitlish, maybe the person is going to be toilish, it could not have been a gzeira that was addressing the Shema Yala V'Yitlish on Yom Tov, because Shema Yala V'Yitlish on Yom Tov is only in Issa D'Rabbanan, it's not an Issa D'Raisa. So Al Kachach, the gzeira started with our fear that a person is going to be over the Issa D'Raisa on Shabbos. Once they made that gzeira, so they didn't mind stretching it to accommodate Yom Tov as well. And that probably is also because of some form of kula chada gzeira. Al kol panim makes a lot of sense now why Rashi would say that it was because of the Shema Yalav Yitlosh on Shabbos. However, we can give another answer to the question on Rashi based on what Rabbi Kiveger says in our sugya. Rabbi Kiveger is addressing the Tosfos in Dibur Maschol Gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlosh, where Tosfos is bothered by a question. Why is it that we have to say that the reason why a person is not allowed to eat Peres HaNoshrim is because of the Gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlosh? There's a much simpler reason why the person is not allowed to eat Peres HaNoshrim, and that is Muktzah. As we see, Tosfos says in the Gemara later, Daf Chavdal and Rebeis, that if a Nachri brings a present to a Yisrael on Yom Tov, the din is that it's usher for the Yisrael to be nene from those Peres if it's something that it's b'minei b'mechubra, if it's something that it's possible that the Nachri was toilish it on Yom Tov for the Yisrael. And Rashi explains that the reason for this is because it's Muktzah. Migudis Katzoy leben Hashmoshes, since it was Muktzah ben Hashmoshes, because it was Usr for the Yid to be toilish it on Yom Tov, it's Iskatzoy, it remains Muktzah for the entire Yom Tov. So you see that the Isser, to be toilish things from Mechubar, generates an Isser Muktzah. If that's true, then why by Peres HaNoshrin do we have to say that their usher, when they became dislodged from the tree because of the gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh, let it be usher because of Muktzah? You don't need to come out to gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. That is Tosfos' question. Tosfos answers that Al Karchach we have to be talking according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Muktzah. But Einachanami, according to Reb Yehuda, you don't need the gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. Comes along Reb Kiveger and adds, when Tosfos says that our sugya says the gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlosh to explain how, according to Reb Shimon, Peres HaNoshin could be usher, Tosfos doesn't just mean that we want to accommodate Reb Shimon and we want to find a way that the Mishnah could be assering the egg, even alibid Reb Shimon. Rather, Tosfos means that lefi Reb Shimon alone you could learn our sugya, but you cannot learn it according to Reb Yehuda. Because lefi Reb Yehuda, since the Peres Shenoshrin are already Aser Midin Muktzah, Chazal would never sit down and make a gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh, because you don't make a gzeira to Aser Peres Shenoshrin if they're already Aser Midin Muktzah. So according to Reb Shimon, they invented a new gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh because Peres Shenoshrin were, up until that point, were Mutter, because he doesn't hold a Muktzah. And therefore, it was possible by extension to include the egg as well as part of that Kula Chada gzeira. However, according to Reb Yehuda, since Peres HaNoshin themselves were already Aser Midin Muktzah, there would be no point in making a gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh and Asering the egg by extension. So if you don't hold of Muktzah, the gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlosh makes sense. If you do hold of Muktzah, Chazal would never Aser it, and therefore the egg would never become Aser. Now, says Reb Kiveger, if this is true, we can ask a very simple question. The Gemara later asks, why is it that Reb Yitzchak did not want to say like Reb Yosef? And the Gemara explains the reason why he feels that an egg is more similar to Mashkin Shezavu than it is similar to Peiris HaNoishrin. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why does the Gemara have to give such an answer? We have a much simpler answer. Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak didn't want to say like Rabbi Yosef is because we just explained that Rabbi Yosef's explanation of the Mishnah can only make sense if we're going according to Rabbi Shimon. And after all, we are learnt on Daf Beis Mebeis that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was soisim kereb Yehuda by Yomtiv. He paskins that we do say Muktze by Yomtiv. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda by Yomtiv. So why in the world would Rabbi Yitzchak want to say a pshat in the Mishnah that can only be learnt according to Rabbi Shimon when the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by Yomtiv? Answers Rabbi Kveger that we have to say that even Rabbi Yosef holds like Rabbi who is soisim kereb Yehuda by Yomtiv. He agrees that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon by Yomtiv. And it is true that Chazal would never have sat down to make a gzeira of Shema Yal V'Yitlish on Yom Tov, because after all, those payers are anyway usher midin muktzah. However, by Shabbos we said that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So for Shabbos, Chazal came along and assered Peiris HaNoishrin midin Shema Yal V'Yitlish, because on Shabbos, the Peiris HaNoishrin are not usher midin muktzah. So it comes out that the whole gezeira of Shema Yal V'Yitlish was invented for the scenario of Shabbos, in which we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that holds Muktzah as Mutter, and it was not invented for the scenario of Yom Tov. Of course, after we asser it on Shabbos, because of Shema Yal V'Yitlish, Chazal could have made a loy plug and said that even Yom Tov is included in that gezeira, wherever you don't have Muktzah, such as in the case of the egg. According to this, we can explain the Rashi very simply. We asked, why does Rashi, when he explains Rabbi Yosef, why does he say that the reason for the Beitz of being Usser is because Peiris HaNoishrin B'Shabbos? We're talking about Yom Tov. Why did he say because they assered it Mishum Peiris HaNoishrin in Ha'ilam B'Shabbos? The answer is that the Gzeiro was only invented because of the scenario of Shabbos. It's only over there that since we pass like Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of Muktzah, it was relevant to make Gzeiro of Peiris HaNoishrin because of Shema Yal V'Yitlish. But on Yom Tov, it would never have been relevant since on Yom Tov we paskin that Muktzah is Usser. Concerning the issue that we just raised from Tosfos, why is it that our Gemara has to come up with a reason of Peiris HaNoishrin because Gzeiro Shema Yal V'Yitlosh, typically because of Muktzah? The Peiris are anyway also because of Muktzah. So we already explained that Tosfos says that it must be that we need the Tam Alibid Reb Shimon who doesn't hold of Muktzah. Tosfos continues with a question on that Teretz. Tosfos says that Rashi later, on Daf Chavdal Rabbeis, in the sugya of Nachri Shehevi Doirin, the Nachri that brought things that Yesh B'mina B'mechubar, that could be attached to the ground, so we believe that the Nachri was toilish them on Shabbos, Rashi explains that that Isser is even according to Reb Shimon, because there are certain cases that even though Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Muktzah, he agrees to. And that category is referred to as Groigers V'tzimukim. Groigers V'tzimukim is the case where a person takes figs or grapes, and he puts them on his roof. During Bein HaShemashes, they were not ro'oi, and there were things that the person was doicha b'yadayim, because the person did a maise to make them not ro'oi. Rashi says that when a person makes a conscious decision not to pick something off the tree, that means that it's as if the person was doicha b'yadayim. That's a chiddush, but that's what Rashi says in the sugya over there. And therefore, says Rashi, the iser to be nene from the fruits that the Nachri brought the person on Shabbos is usher even according to Reb Shimon. So we're therefore back with the question on our sugya, why do we need the Gzeira Shema Yal V'Yitlosh? We can no longer say that our sugya is going dafka alibid Reb Shimon, because even Reb Shimon agrees that there would be a problem of Muktzah, so we don't need a new Isser. Answers Tosfos that the Gzeira of Shema Yal V'Yitlosh is relevant in a case where a person has a tree in his chatzar. In such a case, if the person owns Arvim are ravens, then we say that the fruits were already mukhan la'arvim when Shabbos came in. Because even though he didn't pick them off the tree, but he knew that it's possible for the arvim to go and eat them. And the rule is that mukhan la'arvim is mukhan la'adam. Therefore we need the tam of Shema Yal V'Yitlosh. That's Tosfos's Teretz. After telling us that Reb Shimon would agree in a regular case of fruits that are attached to a tree, that it is muktzah. Tosfos then goes and asks from a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chabez Med Aleph. Over there it's mavur that it's usher for a person to take his behema and be mamed it to stand it next to asavim, which is grass that he wants to feed the animal, if those asavim were nitlishu, they were disconnected from the ground today on Shabbos. And the reason is because when Shabbos came in, they were still attached to the ground. And that means that they're muktzah. Tosfos says, well, wait a minute. The animal was capable of going and eating it from the mechuber during the Shabbos, as soon as Shabbos came in. So just like we said by the arvim, something that's mukhan for the arvim, because the person had in mind that the arvim will be able to eat from it, mechuber, that gives it a din of mukhan l'arvim. Why don't we say the same thing over there, that the fact that the animal could have eaten it, but mechuber, makes it that it's mukhan. So one Teretz Tosfos gives is that the case is that it was not capable of being toil shit by itself. The person has to bring the animal to the other side of a nahar in order to give it the chance to eat from those asavim. So it's not like the animal was capable of being toil shit when Shabbos came in. That's one Teretz. The second Teretz, though, Tosfos says, is that there's a difference between the case of Muchen lo Arvim, the case of the Peris, that the Arvim are capable of eating from the tree when Shabbos came in, and the case of Asavim. Because Peris, it's a derech for them to fall off the tree. And as such, the person is Yoishev u'mitzapa, the person is waiting for them to come off the tree, and that's why his das is on those things. Masha'en kein Asavim, grass, does not become disconnected by itself from the ground. So there's no Yoishev u'mitzapa, because it's not like the person expects it to become disconnected during Shabbos by itself. Now the way the Marsha and the Maram understand this Teretz in Tosfos is that the din by the Arvim, that we say that it's Muchen la'Arvim when Shabbos came in, is a tsiruf. It's a combination of the two milas that case has. Number one, it's Muchen la'Arvim because the guy expects the Arvim to eat from it while it's Mechuber. Number two, the person also has the hopes that it's going to fall off the tree by itself and he'll be able to eat it. Those two things together make it that his das is on these peiris. He wasn't maxed. He didn't remove his mind from these peiris because he has expectations of having use from it over Shabbos. And it's for this reason that we need to invent a iser, a gzeira of peiris hanosh and shema yalav yitlish. Because were it not for that gzeira, then the person has das to use these peiris. However, in the case of the behema, although it's possible for the animal to be toileshit by itself when Shabbos came in, but that's not enough to make it that the person still has his das on it. Something gets mechuber, you need two things. You need also the fact that the person has expectations that it's going to possibly become detached by itself. And that you don't have in the case of asavim. That's the way the Marsha and the Maram learn Tosfos's Teretz. The way the Marsha learns Tosfos's Teretz is that they're really being choizer from the Teretz that they just gave before. Meaning, the reason why we had to invent a new tam of Shema Yalav Yitlish, and it wasn't enough to say that it's muktzah, is not at all because of the Arvim, like Tosfos said before. Rather, it's because of the Svara of Yoishev Umitzapeh. Any peiris that it's the derech for them to fall off the tree during Shabbos, the person when Shabbos came in wasn't maksadas from those peiris because he planned on using them in the event that they fall off the tree. So he still has his mind on them. And that's why we can't ask from the case where a nachri brought the person peiris from a different place. The person never had in mind to use those peiris that the nachri biadayim took off the tree. Because that case is talking about where the nachri had to go and take it off biadayim and they weren't oimed to come off. So the only time that we really need a gzeira of Shema Yalav Yitlish is by Peiris that the derech for them is to fall off the tree by themselves. And we actually see they ended up falling off the tree by themselves. So any such Peiris, you have a gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlish, because those Peiris don't have the time of Muktzah. The person had them in mind when Shabbos came in. And that's why it's impossible to ask from the case of the animal eating the grass, because that's not something that falls off of the ground by itself. So to sum it up, we have two possible answers as to why we need a special gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlish by Peiris HaNoshrin, and it's not enough to answer them midin muktzah. Because after all, like Tosfos explained, even Reb Shimon would agree to such muktzah since the person did not take them off the tree before Shabbos. And the mela, they're like Gregus Vitzimukim. The two reasons are, number one, if the person has Arvim, so he went into Shabbos with the mindset that his Arvim will eat them, and therefore they have a din of being Muchen, and Muchen la Arvim having Muchen la Adam. And number two, even if the person has no Arvim, when you have things that the derech is for them to fall off the tree, the person is Yoishev Mitzapa, he waits for it to fall off the tree, and therefore it does not get removed from his mind when Shabbos came in. According to the Marsha and the Maram, even the first time needs to be combined with the fact that the person has expectations that it may fall off the tree. It's not enough the time of Muchen la Arvim alone. Now, it's important to point out that everything we just explained is all a hesber as to why we have to come on to a tam of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. Chazal don't need to be goyzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh in the event that it's muktzah. So we have to give reasons why this may not be muktzah. However, Reb Kiva Eiger points out a very important point. He says it may be true that before Chazal were goyzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh, the Peres HaNoshrin were not muktzah for the reasons that we gave. Let's take, for example, the reason that the person is yosh of Mitzapah. So he expects to have this available for use during the course of the Shabbos. That's all a description of the reality prior to Chazal's being goyzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh. Once Chazal came along and said that those Peres HaNoshrin you will not be able to use because of the Gzer of Shema Yalav Yitlosh, it will now in turn become muktzah, because the person is not going to be Yoshev Mitzapah because he won't be able to use them Machmas the Gzer of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. And he says, based on this, a fascinating teres, the Tosis is Kasha. He says, don't ask me from the Gemara by the Nachri, who brought a Doiran for the Yisrael, that you see over there that the Peres are Muktzah, and so therefore, why did we have to come out to the Gzer of Shema Yalav Yitlosh? He says, perhaps that Gemara that says that it's muktzah is only after Chazal were goyzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh. So of course it's muktzah. So we don't even have to differentiate, like we said before, between peiros that the derech is for them to fall off and peiros that the derech is not for them to fall off. Even if we're talking over there about peiros that's the derech for them to fall off, they become muktzah machmas gzeir Shema Yalav Yitlosh. So the whole question of Tosfos was built on the assumption that these peiros are muktzah before the gzeir Shema Yalav Yitlosh, and why did Chazal have to be misakin? But he's answering that before they were misakin, they weren't muktzah. They're only muktzah now after we were misakin. If you'll ask, says Reb Kiva Eiger, why in that Gemara did Rashi feel the need to explain why you can't eat the pears that the guy brought as a matana because of muktzah? It's true that they're muktzah, but he could have also said because of Shema Yalav Yitlosh, which was the beginning of the din. What created that they're muktzah is the gzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh. So why did Rashi choose to explain that Gemara dafka because of muktzah? And that, he says, a very simple teretz. He says that when the guy brings you a matana, you don't know bevadai that these pears were mechubra when Shabbos came in. It's a suffix. We think maybe he was toilish them, and if he was toilish them, then they were muktzah from the beginning of Shabbos. Says Reb Kiva Eiger, Peres HaNoshrin, if something is a suffix Peres HaNoshrin, since it's only a suffix Darabonim because of Gzir Shema Yalav Yitlosh, so suffix Darabonim you go Lekula. So you wouldn't have to be Machmir and not eat the Peres. And even though the Gemara says later that a Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, Rav Ashi says we're not Makel, you can't be Makel by Safik Darabonim when something is Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, because Ach Techlenu Be'isur Techlenu Be'heter, tonight it's going to be Mutter. That's only Rav Ashi. Rav Papa's shita in our sugya is that Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin is mutter b'din Safek Darabonin L'Kula, and the Baal HaMemra in the Gemara later that talks about the guy bringing you the Peres b'matana is Rav Papa. So Rav Papa l'shitase would be Mekel if it were only for the din of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. However, Safek Muktzah is different. As we will see later, Rav Kiva Eiger brings down a Tos Yishonim that says that Safek Muktzah is different than other Safek Darabonin, and we go L'Chumra. So it's an incredible cheshbon from Rav Kiva Eiger. He's saying that our Gemara invented an iser of Peres HaNoshrin based on the gzera of Shema Yalav Yitlosh only because the person is Yeshu Mitzapah, so prior to the gzera it's not muktzah, after the gzera becomes muktzah, and that's why our Gemara can't explain that the Peres HaNoshrin are aser midin muktzah, because the takana started with something that was not muktzah because the person is Yeshu Mitzapah. It's just that the Rabbanon were goyzer Shema Yalav Yitlosh. After the Rabbanon were misakin that, it in turn becomes muktzah, and that's why Rashi over there is capable of explaining it midin muktzah. And the reason why we explain it over there midin muktzah and not midin Shema Yalav Yitlosh is because, since we're talking about a suffix, Safek Muktzah is Aser, but Safek Shema Yalav Yitlosh would not be Aser, according to Rav Papa, who's the Baal HaMemra over there. When the Gemara explains the reason why Rabbi Yosef did not want to say, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that the reason for the dinner of our Mishnah is because we make Gzeira Atu Mashkin Shazavu, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yosef would tell you Beitza Uchla Uperis Uchla. Beitza is a food. Peres is a food. Lafuke mashkin lav uchla. Mashkin is not a food. The Arsameach in Perek Ches of Hilchis Tumas Oichlin Halacha Yud Gimel explains that from this Gemara we see a yisoid. You see that a beya, even a raw egg, is considered an oichel and not a mashka. Even though one could argue that it's a liquidy substance, nevertheless, the halacha views it as an oichel as opposed to a mashke, and there will be a big nafkamina. What is its shir legabi yom kippur? We know that oichlin have a shir of keseves agasa together with the pit, and mashkin, the shir, is meloy lugmav. Rabbi Chanan, over here in the Kevitz Yurim, says the same thing. He says, "Mikan mashmir the beitza tzricha hechsher lekabel tuma v'lehavi bechlal mashkin." In order for oichlin to become tame, they need to have hechsher. You have to have one of the shiva mashkin go on them. However, mashkin do not need hechsher. So over here he says, you see that a beitza would need hechsher in order to be mekabel tuma. And he says, "V'chein afkmina le'inyan cholim yom kippurim shetzarch lechol beitza pachas mikashir." If somebody would want to eat on Yom Kippur, pachas mikashir, he wouldn't want his achilas to be mitzarf to each other. So in oichel, you have to wait after the zman of kedei achilas pras. Masha'en kein amashke, you have to wait b'chdei shdias revias. So by a beitza, according to our Gemara, since it's an uchla, it would be governed by the rules of oichlim. And therefore, the pachas mikashir would be based on the kedei achilas pras as opposed to kedei shdias revias. It's interesting that Rabbi Chanan chooses the nafkamina of its starfus of the shir kedei achilas pras as opposed to the shir itself, like Dar Sameach does. Dar Sameach says that the nafkamina is that if it's considered an oichel, then the shir is kikai seves, as opposed to if it's a mashke, then the shir is meloy lugmov. Al kopanim, he's also siding with the Dar Sameach on this issue, and he says that from our Gemara you see that it would have all dine oichel. However, Rabbi Chanan asks from a toisvis in chulin daf lamed zayin. Over there, the Gemara is discussing the limud that etzim ulevoina of kachim have a special din that they're mekabel tumas oichlin. Usually wood and things like that aren't mekabel tuma. In order to be mekabel tuma, it has to be a kli or an oichel or a person. Yet the Gemara makes a special limud from the words vehabasar. Vehabasar is marba that not only is basar shel kachim tami tumas oichlin, even etzim ulevoina. And even though Eitzim Ulvoina is not an Oichel, the Gemara explains over there, there's a principle called Chibas HaKodesh. Kodshim is special, and therefore, because it's special, it has a din of an Oichel. So it has Tumas Oichlin. Tosfos over there asks, if it's true that there's a principle called Chibas HaKodesh, which gives Eitzim Ulvoina a din of an Oichel, then why wouldn't we say the same thing Legabi Mashkin? The halacha is Mashkin Beis Mitbechai, the Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash are Tahar. They don't have Tumas Mashkin. Tosfos is asking, so they don't have Tumas Mashkin, but they should get a din Tumas Oichlin, just like Eitzim Levoina has a din of Tumas Oichlin because of the special din of Chibas HaKodesh, let Mashkin become Tame with Tumas Oichlin midin Chibas HaKodesh. Answers Tosfos that the Riboy of Vehabasar, which tells us that there's a din called Chibas HaKodesh, is only said by something that's dummy Le'oichl. It's similar to an Oichl, Kigain Eitzim Levoina, Shehudavar Av Vekashe, Ke'ein Oichl. It's only by something that's a solid, like Oichl, could have a din similar to Oichlin get Tumas Oichlin. To give mashka a din of an oichel mivahabasar lemahan yechibas hakodesh. That's what Tosfos says over there. Says Rabbi Chanan, I see from that Tosfos that the shem oichel in halachic terms applies to something that's solid. When something is liquid, it has a din of a mashke and not a din of an oichel. So perhaps we could say to answer Rabbi Chanan's question that the yisoid of our sugya, although Rabbi Chanan and the Yer Samech are both understanding that when our Gemara says that a bay is uchla because a raw egg is something that you consume and we can still consider it an oichel, it could be that we could explain our Gemara differently. Really, when a beya is in the state of being raw, it's considered a mashke. And in Hilchas Yom Kippur, or like you see over there, Legabi Tumas Oichlin, a beya would not have Tumas Oichlin because it's not a solid. However, our Gemara still could refer to the beya as an Oichel because we have to be done with regards to the Gzeira of Peiros HaNoishrin, the Iker Oifen that people consume the egg. And the egg is usually consumed after you cook it and eat it as a salad. So therefore, although in its current state, when it comes out of the chicken, it's still considered a mashke, but that doesn't make a difference because it's still shayach to the gzeira of Peiros HaNoishrin since eventually the person cooks it and eats it. The Gemara brings a brisa. Echad beitza shenolda b'Shabbos ve'echad beitza shenolda b'yomtiv e'metatlin oisa loy l'chaseis ba esakli v'loy lismech ba kari amita. So the brisa is answering the tiltle, the moving of an egg, in order to do things like covering a kli, or to use it to be soimich b'kari amita. If you balance it properly, you could actually support the posts of a bed using an egg. Now, from the lashon of the brisa, it is mashma that it's usher to be metaltel the egg in order to be soimich b'kari amita. But let's say you didn't have to be metaltel it; you would just be soimich b'kari amita. Then that would be fine. It's just that you have an iser tiltel. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Simen Tov Kuf Tes is medayik this in the Kuntres Achrin Ois Gimel. And he says, you see from this brisa that the only thing that's usher to do with muktzah is to move the muktzah, but to be mishtamish with the muktzah, to use it without being metaltel it, would be fine.
And that is actually Shita of the Ramban, it's brought down by the Ran, Shabbos Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis, that it's mutter to be mishtamish with mukta, as long as you're not being metatlet. Let's say you have an evan, a stone, that's stationary, it's staying still, you're not going to move it, and you want to sit on that stone, it's mutter. And that's why our Brisa just says that you're not allowed to be metatlet to be mesemach v'kari amita. But to be mesemach kari amita itself would be mutter. And he asks from this Brisa on the Rashba in Shabbos Taf Chav Tesemid Aleph, who says that you're not allowed to be mishtamish with muktza. And he even uses the example of being semach bakari amita over there. He says, even if it remains in one place, she'ena meziza yomotautloi, it's still usser. The Stipler in the end of Simid Dalet asks this question as well. However, the Rish Yosef over there in the Sugyan Shabbos says that the Rashba learns our Brisa differently. He learns that the words a mitautlin oisa only goes on l'chassis bo'es ha'kli. You're not allowed to be metaltal l'chassis bo'es ha'kli, and you're also not allowed to be semich bo'kari amita without tiltal. Of course, being mechassis bo'es ha'kli would also be usher if you had a way to do it without tiltal, but it's not the derech to be mechassis ha'kli without moving it. There's no way to do it. So l'chassis bo'es ha'kli is the example of doing something that's usher midin tiltal, and the din of being semich bo'kari amita is usher midin hishtamshus. And he even learns that the Rashba is medayik the Brisa to be a riotous shita, because he says that why would the Brisa have to go out of its way to give me extra examples of what I may be using the egg for if we're just coming to aser tiltal? Al kochach, the Brisa is trying to say you're not allowed to be metaltal it, and you're also not allowed to be mishtamish with it without tiltal. The Brisa continues and it says, avol koifa le'as akli. You're allowed to cover the egg with a kli in order that it shouldn't break, even though you're not allowed to move the egg, but you could protect it by covering it with a kli. Rashi says that the point of the braisa is that even though you're not allowed to move it, you still could move other things for its tzorich, and it's coming lafuke from the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, ein kli nittel el davar nittel b'shabbos. Rabbi Yitzchak in the sugi and Shabbos, Daf Mem Gimel, says that you're not allowed to move a kli for the purposes of serving mukta. And the Gemara actually asks over there on Rabbi Yitzchak from this braisa, and the Gemara gives the teretz that Rashi brings down. He says, v'iyu muki lo b'tzorich l'mkoy mishol kli. Which means that even though Rabbi Yitzchak holds you're not allowed to move a kli shemalachti leheter, a regular kli, you're not allowed to move it for the purposes of serving muktza. However, if that kli was, you picked it up anyway because you needed the makam of that kli, then you're allowed to go and cover the egg. Tosfos proves from here that if a person began to be metaltal muktza because he needed it for whatever reason, let's say he had a kli shemalachti leiser and he needed to move it letzerich gufay or letzerich mekaymai, you're allowed to then go and put it wherever you want. You could be melicha, you put it into your room, and put it away for the purposes of the kli. Even though that tiltal without the tzerch gufay and tzerch mekayim it would be aser, because you're not allowed to move the kli that's malachta le'iser for the purpose of the kli, mechamel itzel, to protect the kli, you're not allowed to move it. Nevertheless, if you started moving it because it was tzerch gufay and tzerch mekayim, you could continue moving it. You have it in your hand already, and you could go do whatever you want with it. And that you see from this braisa, because according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not allowed to be metaltal a kli litzorich muktzah. Nevertheless, if you started moving that kli litzorich mekaymai or litzorich gufa, you can then go continue and use it to cover the egg that's muktzah. Because like the Ran says, it's a doichik to say that the case of the braisa is where you were right next to the egg. You started moving litzorich gufa, litzorich mekaymai. It sounds like you then would have the heter to put it on top of the egg, even if the egg is not right next to where you picked it up. So this is a rule in Hilchos Muktzah that Tosfos establishes. Now Tosfos is talking about a case where a person began his tiltal beheter, like letzerich gufa, letzerich mekaymai, then you're allowed to continue doing something which otherwise would have been usser, since the muktzah is already in your hand. However, the Magen Avraham takes this a step further. In Simen Shin Ches, Sivkat and Zayin, the Magen Avraham says that what happens if a person forgot, he did it be'isser, but he did it be'shoigig. The person picked up muktzah by mistake and started being metaltal it. He's allowed to continue being metaltal it until he puts it down and put it wherever he wants. Let's say, for example, a person realized on Shabbos that he left money in his pocket, so he's being metaltal muktzah. But he doesn't want to take off the jacket or the beggar that has the muktza in it, and therefore he wants to go into a safe place. He wants to walk into a room, put the jacket in his closet. That way he doesn't leave it lying around in a place where somebody may be able to take it. So according to the Magen Avraham, you'd be allowed to do that since you began being the talit already. You have the right to put it wherever you want. And that is actually a psak of the Ramah in Simin Reish Samach Vav Sif Yud Beis. So the Magen Avraham understands that the Ramah got that from our Tosfos, from this diuk. However, the Gra over there argues on the Ramah, because he says that in our case, the beginning of the tilta was beheter. Mashenkin over here, the tilta already started be'isser. So he says you cannot continue being over an isser just because you started. Not only that, the Gra further limits the chiddush of our Tosfos. Not only does he say, is our Tosfos limited to a case where the person began his tiltul b'heter, it's also limited dafka to a case of a kli shemalachta le'iser that's mutter to be metaltal l'tzerch gufe l'tzerch mekoymoy. However, if you have a more severe form of mukta, which is not mutter l'taltal l'tzerch gufe l'tzerch mekoymoy, and yet you're metaltal for a certain heter, you do not have the right to continue being metaltal it. And the example for this is a case of a sakin shel mila, a knife that's used for the purpose of mila. Now, generally speaking, if you're not using it for the purpose of mila, it has a din of mukta machmas chesar and kis. Mukta machmas chesar and kis is something that's very expensive, which is not mutter l'taltal l'tzerch gufe l'tzerch mekoymoy either. Now, what happens after you finished being mal the tinek on Shabbos? So you have the sakin shel mila, you had the right to be metaltal it because you were using it for the purpose of the tinek. The Maril says you must immediately let go of the kli and let it drop because you're not allowed to continue being metaltal it and put it away in a safe place since your heter tiltal has just ended as soon as you finish doing the mila. However, the Ramah in Simon Reish Samach Vav Yeridea, Siv Beis, the Simon that we mentioned before is Reish Samach Vav in Hilchus Shabbos. That's where the Ramah talks about the fact that if you forgot muktzah in your pocket, then you're allowed to move it to a place which is safe. This is also Reish Samach Vav, but in Yeridea, Siv Beis, where the Ramah says that after you finish the meal, you're allowed to go and be matzniya it and put it away in a safe place. Not like the Maril that we just mentioned. The Goyin over there says that the Maril is right. Because even though Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser, once you moved it L'Tzerch Mekoymoy, you're allowed to continue moving it. However, over here, it's Aser. Because he says, Dafka Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser, which is not really Muktzah. Because you see, it's Mutter L'Talt L'Tzerch Guf L'Tzerch Mekoymoy, and it's only Aser to move it L'Mecham L'Tzel. If the whole tiltal is for the purpose of the Kli, then it's Aser. But once you start it, you can continue moving it. And that's all you see from our Tosfos. But in the case of a Sakin Shel Mila, since it's a more severe form of Muktzah, because it's Muktzah Machbis Tzar and Kis, it doesn't have the heter of tiltal L'Tzerch Guf L'Tzerch Mekoymoy, you're not allowed to continue moving it after your heter is over. And that's because the Goyin understands that the din of Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser, that you're not allowed to move it Mecham L'Tzel, when you're trying to help the Kli, or to protect the Kli, is a din, as he mentions over there, that you're not allowed to move this Kli, Shaloi L'Tzerich Shabbos. If it's L'Tzerich Gufoy or L'Tzerich Mekoymoy, that's called L'Tzerich Shabbos. So there's a special din in these Kelim that when your Tiltul is Shaloi L'Tzerich Shabbos Klal, you're not allowed to move it. In that Halacha, says the Goyin, Toises was Mechadish, that once you started moving it, since the beginning of your Tiltul was L'Tzerich Shabbos, then you're allowed to continue moving it because it doesn't fit into the category of being metaltal shaloi l'tzerich Shabbos klal. However, other forms of muktzah, like muktzah machmas chesar and kis, is usser because there's a special isser tiltal. It's not that you're not allowed to be metaltal the izmel shalmila shaloi l'tzerich Shabbos klal. You're not even allowed to be metaltal l'tzerich gufay l'tzerich mekayma, which shows that there's a special isser tiltal on the sakin. And therefore, once you stop having a heter to be metaltal that sakin, you're not allowed to continue moving it because there's an iser tiltal. You're being over the iser tiltal. So where your iser is built on shaloi l'tzerich Shabbos, then the beginning of your tiltal helps you. Because since you started moving it l'tzerich Shabbos, so then we don't even look at the end of your tiltal as if it's shaloi l'tzerich Shabbos klal. However, where your iser tiltal is not built on shaloi l'tzerich, rather, it's real muktzah where you're given an iser tiltal, even if your tiltal is L'Tzerich Shabbos, you're also not allowed to move it because you have a special Isser tiltal, then the beginning of your tiltal doesn't help. The fact that you started moving it for a good reason because you were allowed to do it for the Mila doesn't help me that for the end of my tiltal. I still have an Isser tiltal. The beginning was Mutter, so it was Doicha my Isser tiltal. The end, I don't have that Dechia anymore, so my Isser tiltal is here. And that's also why the Goyin holds of the first Chiddush that we mentioned before, which is that if it was Shachach and the person didn't have a heter to move the Muktzah, rather he just did it by mistake and he started moving it, the Goyin holds that you're not allowed to continue moving it. He disagrees with the Magen Avram's Chiddush because he holds that the fact that our Tosfos says you're allowed to continue moving it is because the end of your tiltal is Nigrar after the beginning of your tiltal. That's only by Dover that you're allowed to be metaltal because Tzerich Huvet Tzerich Mekoymoy. We say that L'Tzerich Shabbos you're allowed to move it, so the end of your tiltal is looked at as if it's L'Tzerich Shabbos because it's all one tiltal. However, if the person started moving it for not a good reason, he did it because it was a shoygeg, then it's not like we can look at the end of your tiltal as being L'Tzerich Shabbos. So they're really arguing a very fundamental machloikis as to what Tosfos was mechadish. According to the Magen Avram and the Ramah, Tosfos was mechadish a din in Hilchas Muktzah, a general rule that once the person is already holding it, he's allowed to continue moving it. because there's a yesod about mukhtza that you're not allowed to do the akira and start being betatal something and move it from one place to another. However, once the person started being betatal it, for whatever reason, Chazal never asked for continuation of tiltal. And therefore, it's true even if the person was shachach and he moved it by mistake, and not for a good reason, because the continuation of the tiltal was never asked for by Chazal. And it would also be true even by kelim that are not mutar l'tzarech guf l'tzarech mekaymei. Because even by those kelim, once the person has it in his hand, you're allowed to continue moving it. The Goyin understands that that's not what Tosfos is being mechadish. Tosfos is being mechadish according to the Goyin, especially halacha, when you have that category of mukta, that's mutar l'tzarech guf l'tzarech mekaymei, which he understands to mean that you're not allowed to move it shelo l'tzarech Shabbos, but l'tzarech Shabbos you're allowed to move it, then it's possible to look at the end of your tiltal as being also l'tzarech Shabbos because it's nigger after the beginning of your tiltal. In the Braisa that talks about the Beit Shanolda b'Shabbos or Beit Shanolda b'Yom Tov, it says Sfeika Asura. So the Gemara says that we understand that according to Rabbah, who says that we're dealing with an Isda Raisa called Hachana, that's why Safik should be Aser, because Sfeik Dei Raisa is L'chumra. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, who hold that the Mishnah is Aser because of a Gzeira, either because of a Gzeira Peres HaNoishir and a Gzeira Mashkin Shazavu, then why would it be Aser if it's a Safik? Safik Dei Rabbanan, you go L'kula. Now, the Gemara does not discuss what about Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the first Shita in our Sugya, who said that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing about Muktzah, because we're talking about Tanagoyl, so Emed is L'gadol Beitzim. And he explained then that manda istle mukta istle noilad, manda lesle mukta lesle noilad. So it comes out that the machlokes is whether you aser mukta and noilad. Now you could say that we don't bother discussing Rav Nachman because Rav Nachman's mahalach was really rejected. The Gemara says that if you're right, that that's the machlokes, then why do they argue dafka about the beitza? They should argue about the tanagoilis. And even though the Gemara answered that we want to tell us the koyach of Beishami who are matir, that they're matir even by noilad, the Gemara turned around and asked that we should say, that they aser even by non-Nailat, even by Muktzah. The Gemara answered them by saying, Kech de Teir Adif. And the final question was, so then let them argue by both, by the Tana Goylis and the Beitza. So it's possible that that's supposed to be seen as a total refutation of the way Rav Nachman was learning the Mishnah. And therefore, we don't bother to discuss how to learn the Braisel fear of Nachman, because Rav Nachman was refuted. However, the Tosfos Yeshanim does ask why we don't discuss Rav Nachman. And he says that just like there's not a kasha on Rabbah, because Rabbah holds that we're talking about a deraisa of the Din HaChana and Safik deraisa is Aser, so too it's not a kasha on Rav Nachman because the rule is that Safik Muktzah is Aser. Muktzah is Ke'en a deraisa. As we see in the Gemara later, Daf Chav Dalon Rebbe, is that Safik Mukhan, if you have a Safik, whether something is Mukhan from before Yom Tif or not, it is Aser. Many Achroinim, the Marm Shif, the Yeshur, Kivega, they ask, if this is true, then how can we ask from the Braisa on Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, who learned the Mishnah that it's Gzeira because Mashkin Shazavu or Peres HaNoishrin, they at least could learn the Braisa that the reason why Savig is Asur is because the Braisa is talking about a Taina Goylis, Ha'imedis Legadol Beitzim, and the Isser is because of Muktzah. The only reason why they weren't willing to explain the Mishnah that way is because of the Kasha that we mentioned earlier, that we should have said the Mishnah by the Taina Goylis and Beitzasa, we should have talked about the Machloikas, Beishameis Hillel, Legabe both. This says the Marm Shif, that couldn't have been done in the Braisa, because the Braisa we're trying to talk about being Mechases Esakli and Samich Bakari Hamita. So in the Braisa, theoretically, it would be an option, even according to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, to be Mukimit, to be talking about a Tanagol Samedis Legato Beitzim, the Isser is because of Muktzah, and then we understand why Safik is Usser. So Rabbi Kiveger answers that since the Reish of the Braisa that says that you're not allowed to be metaltel the Beitza, Lefir of Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak would be true, bein by a Tanagoylis and menes legadol Beitzim, and bein by a Tanagoylis hoymenes la'achila, so it's very uncomfortable to say that the Sefer which says Safik Asura is only true by a Tanagoylis and menes legadol Beitzim. So that's why, although the Tosfos Yeshanim says Bedas Rav Nachman that we could give this answer, that Safik is Usr because Muktzah is Ke'ena Deiraisa, but we can't give that answer according to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef. Now the Gemara continues and says that according to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, you could explain that the Braisa is talking in the Seifa when it says Safik Asura is talking about a Safik Isser Treifa, meaning that the Isser in the Reisha is of course because Mashkin Shazavu or Peres HaNoishrin. But when we say Safik Asura, the Braisa is talking about a different topic. It's talking about the Safik Treifa. If you have a Safik of a Beitz Shanolda but not Treifa, then it's Asur because that's a Safik Daraisa. However, the Gemara says that's also problematic because after that, the Braisa says that if it was Nisarev with other eggs, it got mixed into a mixture of other eggs, then all of them are Aser, meaning that there's no din bittel. Now, the Gemara says that if you say we're talking about the Safek, whether it was a Beit Shenoldo B'Yomtev or not, like we're talking about it in the Reisha, then we understand this rule, that if it would be mixed with other eggs, it would be Aser, because then it's a Dover She'yesh Loi Matirin. And a Dover She'yesh Matirin is a Filu Be'elef Loi Batal. Masha'enkin, if you're talking about a Safek Treifa, then there should be a Din Bittal. And why would we say that a Filu Be'elef Loi Batal? Why is it that a Dover She'yesh Matirin is a Filu Be'elef Loi Batal? Rashi explains that even though Midai Reisa, it is Batal, but there are Banu were which means, since you anyway have the ability to eat this thing beheter, if you wait until tonight, when Shabbos or Yom Tov is over, you'll be able to eat the egg. So don't rely on the mechanism called bittul to be matir you, which is seen as a b'dieved. Wait until tonight, and then you'll be able to eat it without any problems. You'll know that it's for sure mutter. However, the Ran in Adarim, Daf Nun Bezim et Aleph, gives a different hesber why Adavar Shesh Matirin is not batul afilu be'elef. And the Ran's hesber actually helps to be masber another prat, another detail in the rules of Davar Shesh Matirin, and that is that the halacha is that a Davar Shesh Matirin, it depends if it was nis'arev min b'minoy or min b'she'enei minoy. If a Davar Shesh Matirin is nis'arev in something that's the same min as itself, then it's not batal afilu be'elef. Masha'enkin, if it's nis'arev min b'she'enei minoy, then it is batal. And why would this be true? Explains the Ran with hakdama. There is a machloikes of Yehuda and Rabbanan, which is mentioned in a few places in Shas, as to whether min b'minoy batal or loy batal. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that min b'minoy loy batal. The Chachamim argue. The Gemara in Menachos and Daf Chav Bezemet Aleph says that they both darshan the pasuk that's written in the Avoda of Yom Kippurim, v'lokach midam apar midam asoyer. Dam apar and dam asoyer are mixed together during the Avoda of Yom Kippurim, and nevertheless, the Torah still refers to the concoction as being dam apar and dam asoyer, even though the dam apar is much more than dam asoyer, so it should be mevatalit. The Torah still refers to them as dam apar and dam asoyer, so you see that it's not batal. Rabbi Yehuda says, you see from here that min b'minoy loy batal. And there's a hesber in that, says the Ran. Rabbi Yehuda understands that the din called bittul is a mechanism that requires opposite forces. Because what bittul is that the roiv, the majority of a taruvus, conquers the minority. When you have two opposing forces in a taruvus, then we could say that the majority subsumes the minority and makes it part of itself. Suppose you have an entire pot of chicken soup, and a few drops of apple juice falls into the chicken soup. If someone were to ask, what do we have in front of us? We would probably say, we have a bowl of chicken soup. Although the chicken soup has apple juice that was mixed into it, since the apple juice is a minority, if you cannot taste the apple juice, then we say that the identity of the apple juice has been totally lost. It's been obliterated through the process called bittul. That makes sense by min b'she'enei minoy, because we have to decide, what do we have in front of us? Is it apple juice or is it chicken soup? And bittul says that the chicken soup has conquered the apple juice, and now we only have chicken soup in front of us. However, suppose we have a pot of chicken soup, which is kosher, and then a few drops of non-kosher chicken soup falls into the kosher chicken soup. It's unfair to say that the non-kosher chicken soup has lost its identity, because it hasn't really. You have more chicken soup than you had before. To put it in the Ran's terminology, kol davar shehu doyme lechaveiro, anything that's similar to its friend, einoy machlishoy umevatle, it doesn't weaken it and obliterate it, ela ma'amidoy umechazkoy. The two are machazik each other. We have more of what we had before. That's why min b'minoy is not batal according to Yehuda. The Rabbanan argue on this. The Ran explains that the Rabbanan still agree in principle to the way Rabbi Yehuda views bittul. They understand also that for bittul you need to have two opposing forces. It's just that they look at the identity of something as being determined not by its metzias, rather its halachic identity. And therefore, what matters more to us is whether you have two opposing forces, meaning iser and heter. Even if you have the same min falling into heter, such as our case of a big pot of kosher chicken soup and a few drops of non-kosher chicken soup falling in, there is bittul. And the reason is because in terms of the halachic identity, you had two opposing forces. That is the way the Ran understands the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan as to whether min b'minoy is batal or loy batal. Continues the Ran, and he explains that a davar sheyesh loy matirin, on the one hand, is usser now. However, on the other hand, it's going to become mutter later. So it's in a quasi-state of iser. It is not fully usser because it's going to have heter. And therefore, even the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yehuda and say that we look at things in terms of their halachic identity, and that is what creates the fight between the two forces, that only holds true when there is complete iser falling into complete heter. Because then the two are dissimilar enough to facilitate the fight that is required when dealing with Hilchas Bittel. But if a Dover Shesh Lo Matirin falls into heter, then says the Ran, that it depends. If it's min b'minoi in the Metzias, it's falling into the same min, then we say that the two things are too similar to each other. Because in terms of the Metzias, they're both alike. And in terms of their halachic identity, there is something similar between the two because the Isser also is going to become mutter. However, if the two are min b'she'enoi minoi, then we have the ability to be mitzarif, the dissimilarity in terms of the Metzias, because it's min b'she'enoi minoi, with the dissimilarity in terms of iser v'heter, because at least it is usser today. So it's iser falling into heter. And that is why there makes a difference between min b'minoi, min b'she'enoi minoi by a dover shesh matirin. Because when it's min b'minoi, we say the two things are too similar. We put together the similarity in terms of Metzias with the similarity in terms of Isser V'Heter, since it's going to become Mutter tomorrow. And when it's M'Sheinei Minei, then we put together the dissimilarity in terms of the Metzias together with the dissimilarity in Isser V'Heter, because after all, it is Isser today. So it comes out that we have two ways of explaining the din of Dover Shesh Matirin Loi Batel. According to Rashi over here, it's because Atche Techlenu B'Isser Techlenu B'Heter, and according to the Ran, it's because of this Hesber based on the mechanics of Bittel.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.